Blog Talk Radio. Hi, I'm Cindy Sansone-Braff, author of Grant Me a Higher Love, How to Go from the Relationship from Hell to One That's Heaven Sent by Scaling the Ladder of Love. That's a big title. It's a big book. Love's a big topic. The music you heard at the show is called Eagerly Please, composed with love by my nephew, Miles DeBastian. I'm a woman on a mission, and that mission is to have you and everyone else have the best love life possible in this new millennium. But before this can happen, you're going to have to learn a few new tricks. Joining me tonight, as always, is my co-host and producer, Nicole. Nicole is a beautiful young woman, a writer, and a lesbian, and an entrepreneur, not necessarily in that order, and she's here to share her love stories and war stories with us. She's the voice that will make all of us women stop blaming everything on the opposite sex, since Nicole knows women are making some of the same kinds of mistakes in their relationships with each other. Hello, Nicole, are you there?
Yes, I'm here,
Cindy. I was just hoping you could hear me because I know it's sometimes with Blog Talk we have our little technical problems.
Oh, I know. Well, did you see my little note on the other line? That was you?
Yes, can't hear you there.
I saw.
Anyway,
like,
I'm glad to hear
there?
From you. How's your week going?
My week is not too bad. Actually, I had drama last weekend. I finally take my first weekend off. In 2 years, and it was only because I wound up in the ER with an abscess.
Where was your abscess, or shouldn't we ask?
It was in my mouth. I was having some dental procedures done, and something went awry. And I was in so much pain, and luckily my girlfriend was around to take very good care of me. And, you know, she played nurse all weekend long last weekend. And her dad actually, you know, we started off the weekend, you know, with just like the drama of me having to leave work and going to the hospital. And then I took Saturday off to just rest. But, you know, we ended off the weekend on a very, very happy note because her father just got married. Okay, so... you know, the weekend started off in chaos and ended off in love, you know, because my girlfriend's father is so unbelievably in love with his new wife. And, you know, you can just tell when the two of them look at each other, they just have just a great energy about them. And, you know, we just wish them a lot of luck, and they started their life this week. So, you know, it was really, really, you know, a great time last weekend. So it was good.
Wonderful. Good news. Now, Nicole,
absolutely.
We're not going to have a radio show next week, and I will tell you why.
I have
been asked to do what's called Singles Cafe at the Middle Country Public Library in Centreach. And the address there is 101 Eastwood Boulevard in Centreach, New York. And I'm going to be doing a lecture on soulmates, how to manifest one, how to keep one. And I'm hoping that some of you will join us there. It's at 7 o'clock. And it should prove to be a wonderful event. And I'm going to post some of the information on my website, which is www.grantmeahigherlove.com. And also, I just like to remind, our listeners to vote for me for Best Psychic. Nicole, have you done it yet?
Of course I have.
Oh, okay. And you could go to my website for that, too. On the homepage of Grant Me a Higher Love is a little click on it, and it takes you over to the site. Because it's opening there, I think that it's still till December 15th, so we have time to vote on that.
Absolutely.
I hope everyone had a wonderful Halloween. The weather was pretty horrific on Saturday for the Witch Festival that I went to, and it really did hurt the number of people coming because it really was bad weather. I mean, it was really, really bad. So I'm hoping that next year we'll have better weather.
Absolutely, hopefully. The season's changing. You know, this year has just been a mess. So.
Oh yeah, with the snow and the whole bit. Well, I could see we have like a lot of callers, Nicole. So I know
whenever we take a week off, like these phones just go crazy the following week.
I know, and I try never to, but for some reason events seem to fall on Thursday nights. And if it's an unusual event, I do try to take it. And by the way, I did do my speech for the National Honor Society, and it went very. Oh, it went very well. It was Reinvent Yourself: The Key to a Successful Life in the 21st Century. and the kids were so bright, the audience. At first, I wasn't sure if they liked it or not because they didn't get much of a response afterwards. I goes, oh boy. And then the people were coming over to say they were just spellbound. They wanted more, and they didn't know whether to give a standing ovation or just plead me to talk more. So it was good.
Aww.
And, you know.
Excellent, Cindy. Congratulations to you.
And it was wonderful because I did talk about what it was like to be 17 and be in National Honor Society and that, you know, 17 is not an easy year. It's much harder than people think. So the kids, of course, related to the fact that they've never heard somebody talk about how 17 isn't, you know, all fun and games. You know?
Oh, yeah.
You know, and the reality of it.
They don't realize that we know it's hard.
Oh, and I noticed it was hard when I came in because there was a group of kids that looked like they just got out of prison in the front. I was asking if they knew where the National Honor Society was meeting, and they laughed at me like I had like 8 heads. So I could imagine what it must be like to be in high school. Yeah.
Poor kids.
So, you know what I'm talking
really?
About.
So I do.
You're going to go right to one of our first people. They've been waiting a long time, so we'll see if we can get
Absolutely.
Right in
We're
there.
We're going to go up to the 410 area code, and so that they know that we are identifying them. The last 4 digits are going to be 8861.
Okay.
Hello,
you're on the air.
Hi there. How are you?
Hi, it's Cindy, and who are you?
Hi, Cindy. This is Anna. I spoke to you not long ago about my boyfriend Thomas and I.
Yes.
And had, you know, positive things to say. We just made it through a rough patch, and I'm just wondering what you see around that. You see us pulling through it. I think we're okay, but...
No, it looks like he's trying, except you always have to be careful with him because sometimes he can kind of... you know, start dragging love down the ladder to something not so good. But it looks like he's trying. He does have some unhealed issues that are going to keep surfacing.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, what I try to reinforce anybody who listens to this radio show. If you get nothing much out of this other than in a place of love, our unhealed issues will surface. And that's when people start running or sabotaging it. Because they start thinking I was fine before you came into my life. No, you weren't. You just managed to have a Band-Aid on a carcinoma. And now this stuff is coming out. And if we would all learn to just say, I'm scared. I don't know what's coming out in me. And I'm trying not to vent it on you or be crazy or run from this love. But I feel like there's a lot of, you know, insanity in my mind. And I remind people that they're not going crazy. They're going sane. You know, to act as if your children have been greatly abused their whole life. And we go to kindergarten, first grade, looking perfectly normal when we've been beaten or sexually abused. I mean, that's insanity. Mm-hmm. To finally let it out and start talking about trauma is not insanity. So if people have had hard childhoods and they've had to, you know, just sort of act like it didn't happen, repress it or deny it, it's a little bit harder when they're in a place of love because there's a lot of issues they've never faced, they may not have known it happened. So with Thomas, it looks like he doesn't want to lose you. He is trying, but I see you're going to have a little bit of Rocky going on in here for a while.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to call him on his behavior. Do you call him on his behavior?
Yes, and he even, when things blow over, he'll even turn around and say, you called me out on that, you know. But he recognizes it after the fact, usually.
Right. Well, that's good. The difference between people who can be healed and who can't, the ones, you know, I know when I'm being crazy. If I'm being a lunatic or I'm doing something wrong, I'm fully aware of it. Maybe I can't stop it at the moment, but I have awareness of it. People who realize they've done something wrong, behaved inappropriately, there's hope for it. It's the people that just rewrite history. They're telling you it never happened. It didn't, you know, it's your fault. You made me hit you. You said something to me. Those are the people that can't be helped. There's a little bit of moodiness in the picture here. You know, he has some really major issues in which he has to deal with. Has he ever been in therapy?
I think he has. He used to be an alcoholic. He's been sober for 2 years, so I think, and he hasn't been in a relationship for 2 years, you know, like a committed one. So I think that has a lot to do with it.
Right, because the alcoholic card definitely is in here. You just have to be careful. If you see him drinking again, even one drink, it's not acceptable. Do you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Because
sometimes
people drink or they abuse drugs as a form of self-medication.
Yes.
And if they go back to their drinking or their drugging, it means they don't want to heal. It means, and a lot of times it's the good people who sometimes don't want to face that some of the people who they thought should have loved them or parents they're supposed to feel like they should honor, and it's those people who have hurt us. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we would rather drink than face the fact that we didn't have good parents or that people we loved hurt us.
Yeah.
So it's just really the good people out there, start acknowledging that, you know, you've been hurt and you have a right to be angry. But mm-hmm. it's really hard to sometimes see the reality of our lives. It's sometimes easier just to deny it or hide it or, you know, put the rose-colored glasses on.
Yeah.
And for him, just deal with it. Because it looks very promising here, except there is a chance he could go back to drinking. So you just have to be careful with that.
Okay.
You know, and just if he does, you're going to have the courage to take 2 feet out and say, I didn't sign on for this. I can't do this.
Yeah.
You know, and then, you know, let him go. Is he in a 12-step program?
No, he was. He's been doing really well for 2 years, and like I said, not being in a relationship, you know, for 2 years and then jumping into one, he was never tested throughout his sobriety, you know, as far as stress.
Oh, yes. That's a good way of putting it. He was never tested because, look, when we're by ourselves, we can all pretend to be perfectly healed. We can all go live on a monastery with other enlightened beings and pretend we're healed.
Mm-hmm.
But when we're in the real world and we have people pushing our crazy buttons and we have our intimacy buttons pushed, that's when the unhealed issues surface. So the people that just sign out from love, they go live by themselves, you know, you could pretend you're healed. You could fool yourself. But, you know, healing really manifests when we can get along with other people. We can have an intimate relationship. We can open up. So, you know, he seems to love you very much, by the way.
Yeah, he does. I know he does. And we've both been wounded this week and actually made a lot of progress last night, very apologetic, both of us, very much back on that track. So I'm just wondering if...
Right. It looks like you've been through a lot. But remember, Jesus said, forgive 7 times 70 times. I'm sorry means I don't do it again. It doesn't mean I can abuse you, I can be awful, and then I say I'm sorry and you have to accept it. So make sure that both of you, you know, when you say you're sorry, it means I have recognized I've done something wrong, I'm going to do better. And what works a lot, you know, TJ, my fiancé, is a really great man, and sometimes I'm under a lot of stress, and he could just see I'm about ready to lose it. And what he does is he gives me this really big kiss, and it stops everything. It just stops everything. So sometimes if he's going to say something that he shouldn't say or you see he's going to lose it, just go over, give him a big kiss, and stop it. It just stops it right in its track. And so we all need sometimes for somebody to just say, I love you, I know you're under tension, and, you know, I'm here for you. Because life is very, very, very stressful. If it's not money worries, it's health issues, it's the greater world, the wars, that, you know, there's always something that puts people under stress. So we've all got to give each other a little bit of a break and not contribute to the warring in the world, you know, and making it worse. So, Anna, please call in again and let us know how it's going and, you know, just try to connect it now that you've gotten some of the anger out. And remember, toxic love serves a purpose. When people, you know, are raging behind closed doors, it allows them to then look normal in the outside world. And anybody who's lived, you know, any time at all on this planet has anger issues. And we don't know what to do with them. We can't, road rage, somebody will kill us. If we scream at work or at the people who deserve it around us at work, we're going to get fired. So we sometimes take it out on the ones we love the most. And that's, we have to really understand that we have anger issues, and if we really do have a right to be angry, if we've had hard lives or people have betrayed us and hurt us, it's a time to start writing a letter why you have a right to be angry at the people who have hurt you. You don't have to give it to them. At God, you know, say, God, why did you give me these parents? Why did I give this life? And pretty much you hear God say, you signed on for it, honey. You thought you could end the dysfunction. I'm sorry. You know, it was your choice. But at least it's an acknowledging that we have a right to be angry. And that's half the battle.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, do you see us, like, spending time and trying to, you know, pull through this? I mean, do you see him coming around? Is what well, there's a little distance in between us, not a lot, but
I see wondering. That there's great hope here.
Okay.
As long as he doesn't start drinking. If he starts drinking, all bets are off here.
Yeah.
Because
okay.
he's not a nice alcoholic, by the way.
Yeah.
So,
I
you know, he's not the kind of person he drinks and he's fun.
Yeah.
So you would want to run in the other direction if he starts drinking.
Okay. Okay.
Well, good
Thank
luck
you.
To you, Anna, and thanks so much for listening to our show.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay.
All right, Cindy.
Sure. I see you've got a lot of people you've been screening, so you can just jump over to... Hello? Can you hear me? Hello, can you hear me? Nicole, can you hear me? Okay, I'm going to call back in. Hello?
Cindy?
Yep, boy, I just got knocked right off the air.
So did I.
You got knocked off too?
What, did you Yeah, did you at least finish your call?
Yes, I did.
I just tried to check in out of a chat room and all of a sudden it was just silence.
Right, I know. I don't know. It just said there's a problem with your show and we got cut off. So, okay.
Oh,
I know I know it's Blog Talk Radio. Sometimes when you get too many callers, I think the system gets overloaded.
Yeah, so. I mean, we are blowing up over here, so
All right. So things are good. Anyway, you've screened some callers, I see.
I have screened some callers over here. We are actually going to move on to Abby in Ohio right now. Now, Abby is a repeat caller, okay, just to remind our listeners and to remind you who we're dealing with. You know, she was actually a sexual assault survivor. Her house was struck by lightning. She was into, you know, she was dating married men. She was being harassed at work. Is all this ringing a bell to you, Cindy?
Yes, it does, of course.
All right. Well, basically, she's still experiencing a lot of negativity, you know, and, you know, she's trying to stay positive, but she's just looking for when that turnaround is going to come. And, you know, she just basically, you know, needs your guidance, you know, because she's had it, you know, a little bit rough and she understands about, you know, surviving the karma of her own actions. But now she's just really, really looking for the change. So she wants to know when that's going to come. So for
Good
everybody
question.
Out there, we're going to speak to Abby in Ohio. Hello, Abby, you're on the air.
Hi. Hi, Cindy.
Hi, Abby. I know the negativity. You see, we got blown right off the air before we could take you. Huh? We got struck by lightning.
That's what I'm saying. I was struck by lightning on 9/11. So
wow, and of course, it just proved to us you're not making this up, since we got blown off before we could take your call. So
I think I'm jinxed or cursed or have some kind of bad cloud over myself.
No, but first of all, there's no such things as curses, so let's belie that myth. But what it is things are about ready to change for you in every way, money-wise, relationship-wise. There is a little bit of karma still here to be reconciled. And do you have a vision of where you want to be a year from now?
Yes, I have put out there that positive, you know, those positive thoughts and what I want in my life. And I'm a single mother of three children, and I don't get support from my ex-husband. And I actually found out today that my civil lawsuit against the person that sexually assaulted me and the facility where it happened is going to have to be dismissed after 4 years because of my ex-husband, because he was named on the lawsuit and he hates me so much for divorcing him that we have to dismiss the case. So once again, the person who sexually assaulted me never went to prison, And now I can't even civilly try to hold him liable or the hospital liable. So it's been kind of a bad day as far as that goes.
What's been channeled to me is the narcissists of the world, the liars, tend to win in court, tend to win under circumstances because they are vicious and brutal. But they don't win forever. And the fact that you had the courage to even file this lawsuit, it will be on record. If this man does anything else to anybody else, it will certainly help stop him or help him go to jail the second time. So try to know that God asked you to do what you did. The outcome is not in your hands, but know that if you didn't do this, you probably would have ended up stuffing down so much anger that you would have gotten ill. So at least it served its purpose. As far as your ex-husband goes, when are you going to take him to court for child support? Since he didn't help you with this case, you shouldn't feel one bit guilty of turning around and saying, okay, buddy, you let one man go free, I'm making sure you go to jail. If he doesn't want to pay child support, then he belongs in jail. Are you at that point yet?
Yeah, I am. I really can't afford it. My house is in foreclosure because he's also on the house, and he is not paid for any expenses. We were married for 14 years, and I've always been the breadwinner, and he's always been just the lackadaisical, you know, deadbeat. And, you know, I finally got the courage up to, divorce him. He was abusive towards me, but we have no communication whatsoever, meaning where he will not respond to me. We have three children together. And he will not respond. And now he's, like, trying to make me financially responsible. He'll sign me up for things for the children and say that I'm responsible for it. So I'm going to have to somehow find the money or beg an attorney to help me take him back and file for motion for contempt for, you know, all the violations from our divorce decree.
Exactly. And there is a thing pro bono. If you can't afford a lawyer, you can fill out your own papers and you can go without a lawyer. You know, sometimes people have to do more of that because if you just can't let this person get away with it. It looks like you should be able to get an attorney to help you, by the way. But he can't not be paying child support. This is ridiculous. And, you know, you're a nice person. I'm sure you don't want to have to do what you have to do. But for your children's sake, you don't want to lose your house. And you want to be able to, at least if you do lose your house, be able to get another place where you guys can live and live comfortably. So do what you have to do. It looks like better karma coming here for you, but you do have to handle this situation. This is a time for war. You can't just walk away from your husband and act like nothing happened. So God is asking you to fight this battle. And, you know, he's going to lie under oath. He's going to do whatever he wants. But ultimately, he is responsible to help you. And, you know, mostly we were women who didn't want men to rule us. We didn't want to be with men who were masters. But he turned out in some ways to be your master and you were his slave anyway. But you were mommy to a boy supporting a man who couldn't even support himself. From now on, we don't want to support men. And, you know, a lot of times women, we don't want to run a prostitute archetype. We don't want to stay with men for money. But we're picking all these men who can't make a dollar. So that has to stop. That we, you know, see yourself with a good man, a man who's a good lover and partner and a good father figure for your children and a good provider, that he works as hard as you do. It takes two people to make an income nowadays. Very few people can be supported by one person working. It usually takes two, and so I see you with a wonderful soulmate in the near future, money being better, but you do have to fight this battle. And again, you can go into the court system and ask them for papers. You know, a lot of times they give you a hard time when you try to do pro bono, but, you know, when I was married to my ex-husband, he was a stockbroker at the time, and the company went out of business, and one of the clients sued, and so there was no lawyer being paid by the company. And the person who was suing him was an absolute nut job, by the way. And we had to go to federal RICO court. And we went there without a lawyer. And the judge looked at me and said, you know, Mrs. Braff, this is terrible. I mean, this is bad. You know, you need a lawyer. And, you know, you better, like, mortgage your house. And I said, well, I'm sorry, I don't have a house. There's nothing to mortgage. I have no money. So it's either me fighting it or not. And at first, the court system gave me a hard time, rejected the papers. And I went before the judge and started crying. And I said, how can I defend myself if they expect me to file these papers as if I'm a lawyer? I'm not a lawyer.
Right.
And so he let them to go through the way that I put them. We ended up winning. And this woman had the top, you know, New York lawyer. But the point was, if you don't have money for a lawyer, it doesn't mean you can't go to court.
Okay.
So I stress that case, that particular case to everybody. You know, they think that we're not going to go to court with them because we can't afford it. But there's also, some of the free legal aid lawyers and stuff like that. So see what you can do to make sure you get your money.
Right. And I guess the other issue is that I'm still just only attracting married men or attached men. And like I told you, I am still being sexually harassed at work. He's still, staring at me, gawking at me, looking by me. He never got fired. I'm trying to find another job. But like I said, I'm supporting three children on my own. So it's not, I can't just up and quit without another job.
Right, and don't give him so much power with his leering. Don't even pay attention to him. Give him a couple of, dirty looks back, but don't be intimidated by him. Just ignore him because he's not going to hurt you. He's just trying to make you frightened. And as far as you attracting the married men, don't be so nice when they're hitting on you.
Right.
You're a nice person. You want everybody to like you.
Right.
You give off a vibration that perhaps, you can be hit on by married men. You have to work on what vibration you may be given, without knowing it. I was a professional belly dancer, among other things, for about 30 years. No one ever hit on me when I was a belly dancer, never. Why not? Because I didn't give off the vibrations that was permitted. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I learned very early on, if that's my profession, I'm going to be very professional, and I'm not a person that you can gawk at, grab at, or hit on. And,
right.
And other women in the same profession would say, oh, my God, the men are always hitting on me, they're always grabbing me, and I would say, because you're giving off some sort of vibration. You're not making it clear that this is not acceptable behavior. So even if you just the first time say it to a man, this is not acceptable, your energies will change. So work on the vibrations that you might be giving out subconsciously or without knowing it. Maybe, you're just too nice about it when they do it, or, you can put them off with a sense of humor if you want. You don't have to be mean or anything, but pretty much start drawing some boundaries.
Right, and I guess I was just wondering, how long will it be? Because I was married for 14 years and unhappy for 12, and really just I'm desperately looking and wanting to be loved and be in a healthy relationship, but I can't. Since I'm a sexual assault survivor, I do not want to just go online and meet strangers or go to bars and meet strangers. And I just am wondering, how long is it going to be before I...
Well, it looks, it doesn't look immediate. It looks soon, but again, you need to stand on your own two feet without a man for a while, so that you won't make excuses for people's abuse.
Right.
And it does take some time. You've been unhappy for 12 years of your marriage. If you had left it when you probably were being guided to 10 years ago, there was a soulmate ready for you then. Soulmates usually circle around us for 5 years. The fact that you stayed 10 more years, you might have had two other soulmates that were ready to be brought into alignment with you, but your procrastination, your staying too long, is why some of your life isn't moving forward. When we stay too long with the devil, we know we screw up all of the universe is trying to bring us. So you have to take some responsibility for the fact you stayed a long time, and what the universe may have already have been brought to you, now you have to wait till the universe can bring another soulmate into alignment with you, and that does take some time.
I was just wondering if there was anything I could do or if I already know him, or if there's anything I can do to progress it, because I guess the stress of my life is, like, I'm only sleeping 2 hours a night. I don't even have a voice, because, like, I'm making myself physically sick from the stress from work and my ex, and then, you know, my children and all this financial stress.
And so if you're only sleeping 2 hours a night, where would there be time for you to have a soulmate?
I know.
So that's why I said you've got to start making some space and time in your life. Love needs space. Love needs time. So you need to get your act together, start trying to get yourself to sleep better, trying to get yourself healthy. Because love throwing into this, like, nuclear explosion in your life, the guy would probably run in the other direction in about a minute. So you need to first get yourself healthy, yourself on a good schedule. Perhaps even when you get your new job, he will be linked to that. So understand, believe in divine timing. It's probably not the right time to start bringing something else into your world, but it is coming, by the way. You will have a good soulmate. There's no doubt about it. It's just a question of you having the faith it's coming. And right now your job is to get Abby healthy, Abby's children feeling stable, Abby taking care of her ex-husband and clearing up that mess, Abby getting a new job, and then watch the rest of it kind of fall into place. And you have a very good future. Just be a little bit patient now.
Right. I was just hoping to find some kind of time frame, or if there's something else I can do to help me. You know, I just, like I said, I really have tried. I've turned things around to be positive. I was just wondering if you had any timeline on when things might improve.
It's probably sooner than later, but again, you're asked to take the steps to help it improve.
Right.
And some of them are, if you're going to give off a very tired vibration, a very exhausted, it doesn't make someone want to be gravitating to you, even if it's someone who is drawn to you.
Mm-hmm.
So nobody wants to take on a person who looks, you know, defeated and exhausted. So work on first resting more and just being, you know, that. And that will bring your own vibrations higher, and that will bring, you know, help have new friends come into your life. And through those friends, you could meet a man as well. You want to make new friends.
And the only other thing I wanted to ask is the last time we talked, you had mentioned that you thought that I was going to have another baby in my future. And I still keep having dreams about that, and I was still wondering if that's still true.
Yes, it looks like it will be, but again, you know, just one step at a time. You know, just see that baby, and it'll become a product of the soulmate love that you have. Well, anyway, I want to make sure we try to get to some other calls, because we have way too many calls
very
for tonight.
Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye. Okay, Nicole, what do we have going on here?
All right, Cindy. We are going to cruise over to Lana in Florida. And she actually has an opportunity for her art, you know, with some sort of a gallery relationship. And she just wants to know what you really see about that. So we're moving on to Lana.
Okay, good news.
Hello,
hi,
Lana.
Cindy.
You're on the air.
Hi,
Lana in Florida. How are you? So your art, so this opportunity just came up recently? Is this a new
just
opportunity?
Just came up recently, yes. I just signed on with a gallery in Bonita Springs, and I feel good about it. I'm going to be exhibiting with them, and I wanted to know how you read it.
It looks very promising. It looks very good. You actually have a very good 5-year period opening up. Don't worry too much immediately if things start selling right away, because it will take a little bit maybe for that to go forward, but it ultimately looks very good. You're like right on the right path of where you're supposed to be going. You have a very good 5-year period opening up here.
Hmm.
So the art looks, you know, we've always talked about your creative side, and, you know, Lana's
right.
been a
and
client
I've
for
been,
a while now.
Yeah, I've resurfaced.
Yeah, and you've reinvented yourself. So
again.
So tell me, how did this come about? Because, you know, our listeners love to hear when people just...
Well, I've been... I think the decorating started it. And once I left that job, I kind of got my feet wet with the arts again. And I wanted to explore different possibilities. And someone told me, you know, there's a possibility to do your artwork online. And so I started to work on that, and I start putting together, you know, materials and creating a website and a portfolio and so forth, which is just about finished. And a gal that I play tennis with found out I was an artist, and she got excited. She saw some of my things and got excited and referred me to her girlfriend, who she went to school with, who started this design firm. And that's how I got involved, and just like that. And
but you see how you expanded your world. That's what I keep telling my clients and our listeners here. You stepped out and expanded your world of friends, and you got
mm-hmm.
out there in the world. And that's how through this you could possibly meet your new soulmate, but you first had to get some new friends. So
mm-hmm.
it's
mm-hmm.
very important for people to realize you don't always have to go searching for the man or the woman, the soulmate, that way. Start looking for some new friends, and through that you can expand your world in terms of your career and in terms of your love life, because it looks really very promising here. So,
well, the exhibit is in January, and it's really important that I do sell some pieces with them to get established. Are you seeing that would happen, or is there something holding
it back? I see that
it
may be a little held up because of the economy.
I see. So
sometimes
the price may be too high.
Right, that's what I'm seeing here. So if you're finding it's not selling, you may have to go a little bit lower in price. And just because it is one of those kind of
things. All right, that was a concern of mine, and then maybe I'll do a couple of smaller pieces.
Now, I would advise you to do a couple of smaller pieces, because what I find, because we do go to a lot of galleries and art shows, the smaller pieces are tending to buy almost like right on the spot. Later
right.
on, the artists will tell us people contacted them via their website and then bought the larger picture later on. They just didn't want to impulsively spend $3,000 or $5,000 or whatever. Do you know
correct.
What I mean?
Yes.
But they spent
okay.
the $400. Do you have a website now?
I do. I do
good.
Have a website. I can email you the address. It's almost complete. The scout's taking forever to get it up, and I'm really getting annoyed.
I know, but websites are a little hard to create, but that's okay. You know, it'll come up. You just want to make sure that if they don't buy it immediately, they're able to later on go back and see it or view it. So the smaller pieces are tending to sell faster now.
I see. I was concerned about the price, and I didn't want to lower it too much, you know.
No. But again, if you have a couple of smaller pieces, then they love your smaller piece, they'll come back for another one. You just want to have enough stuff that something starts selling there. I mean, we're out in the Hamptons a lot, East Hampton, and people have their whole shows. It's gone for 2 days, and sometimes they're only selling one piece, but people have big pieces. There's nothing
right. There's
nothing smaller, nothing cheaper that anybody could buy, but people are buying art. Don't worry, that's a good investment. And just, again, get a few smaller pieces just to get things moving.
I want something that can sell right away, because I really want to establish this relationship down here. I want to solidify it, you know.
Right, because even if you sell just a couple of smaller pieces, the gallery knows that your stuff is selling. And we'll then,
okay.
you know, offer it. Well, call in and let us know how it goes, but that's very, very exciting. I'm so proud
all right.
of you.
Well, thank you. Yeah.
You're a woman on the move.
A woman on the move. Yeah, where's the woman going next? All right.
Don't forget the little people.
Oh, come on. You're in Middle Country Library. I used to live right around the corner.
Isn't that fun to do the Singles Cafe? And it's actually a paying gig, and they pay very well. You know how many how much stuff I do for free? And I'm like, you mean you're offering me money? I'm going to sell off my seat.
Well, that's a great library. I always like that library.
It's a wonderful library, and they're so supportive. And that's another thing. When people are saying we don't know where to meet people, lots of library has single cafes, single events where there's musicians coming here, there's lectures given, there's all kinds of exciting things happen. Go to the lecture. Maybe you won't meet the love of your life there, but you can meet a new girlfriend who was also looking for the love of her life, didn't find him but found you, and then together you're expanding your world, you know. So try to go to some of the singles events.
All right. I will do that. Thank you so
much. Bye.
Good talking to you. Bye-bye.
Okay, Nicole, where are we moving off to now?
All righty then. We are now going to head over to Gina in New Jersey.
Okay.
And, you know, she's getting into the dating game, and she just wants to, you know, she finally met somebody, and she wants to know, basically, Cindy, what you think about dating sites, and is something like that really worth pursuing? So we're going to move on to Gina in New Jersey.
Hi,
hello,
Gina.
How are you?
Hi, Cindy. Good. How are you? Thanks.
Good. That's a very good question. And, you know, I have one of my clients listening now. I know who's starting to go on dating sites. There's one called Plenty of Fish that I never recommend. I never recommend that one. I'll tell you why. I call them the bottom feeders because it's free. And half the men on that site are either commitment phobics or they're married. And because they don't have to pay for it, they don't have to put on a credit card, they're able to go on that site. So, you know, if you're going to invest in your love life, it would be worth it to invest in a better, you know, dating service like a Match.com or eHarmony. They are better. Not that, you know, Match.com has a lot of commitment phobics on it, men who say they want love, and then they meet their soulmate on, like, the third person they're dating, and then, you know, they go out with her for 3 months, and they say, but there's 490 other women that want to date me. Let me see how they are.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got to be clear from the beginning when you post, you know, what you're saying about yourself. From the beginning, put that you're looking for a committed relationship, although Match.com will tell you not to do that. That's ridiculous. If you're looking for a committed relationship, then you want to get the other people who are just, you know, they're married, they're just looking for fun and games. You don't want those people contacting you.
Right.
So have you written up something about yourself to post on a website?
I've been doing it for like 2 years now, believe it or not. And I've met
Have you been on Plenty of Fish?
Yeah, unfortunately. And I totally agree with you. It's the same old faces, you know, and the same ones trying to cut. And I've met a lot of guys. I'm not going to say all of them are bad. There were a few that were very nice, but the same thing. They disappear after like a month or two. All of a sudden, boom, you never hear from them. It's like, and you didn't have a fight, nothing.
Right.
Then I met this guy in May on that site, and we just clicked, hit it off, and, you know, I'm thinking, oh, he's great. Well, and now I'm not sure about it because I don't see him as often anymore, the same kind of thing, and I'm wondering if I should, like, express how I feel about it and say, you know, are you still interested? And I know I shouldn't do this, but I was kind of snooping around on Facebooks and stuff like that, and
what you're saying, I'm not a person who advocates ever, like, doing, you know, like, spying on people, but
okay.
When you're meeting somebody on a site and you have not met their family or friends and you know nobody who knows them, I advise you to Google people's name. If nothing comes up, that's even more suspect to me because I'm wondering, are they giving you the right name? See what comes up. See who they are. See, you know, you in this day and age, you can find out who they live with, if they're married. There's a lot of stuff you could find out. And if you're not Googling it, you know, you can be potentially harmed by this person. How do you know if they don't have a long police record or they're not wanted in 12 states? Do you know what I'm saying?
Right, right.
So
So I know some people that he knows. I know where his children live. You know, it's like very – and then he doesn't live close by. But when I was looking around kind of, and we've been, you know, dating since May, not like – you know, every single day, but you know what I mean, still connected.
Right.
And I know he was dating somebody else before, you know, but they had broken up, he said, before me and everything. And, well, he's still friends with her on Facebook, I see. And then recently she just posted a picture of her and him, but I don't know if it's a recent picture, but still, why would somebody, do you know what I'm saying? Like,
well, what I see here is he's not playing fair with you, and we got to stop. This is the way of the universe smearing your face in crap. There it is in front of your face. What are you not seeing?
Right.
I mean,
right.
Sometimes in my life, I look back and I say, how did I not see it? I saw it and chose not to see it. It's stunning
right.
that we have blinders on. We want to believe people aren't lying. We want to believe, you know, they're telling us the truth. But if you were seeing someone a lot and then you're not seeing them so much now, I tell my clients, assume they're seeing somebody else. Assume they don't want you. people who want to see you will see you regularly. And don't be afraid to ask him and confront him on it. Because if you he thinks he's not lying. You never asked him to be exclusive, did you?
No, I never did. It was more assumed, I guess.
That's the word, the assume.
Yeah.
If you were in court, the judge would laugh at you. Is it in writing? What do you mean you're assuming? What did you say? You thought it was? What do you mean? You have to have that same kind of thinking. Stop assuming that people aren't cheating. You know, when you get HIV or you get a human papillomavirus or herpes, you're going to be sorry you assumed. Do you know what I'm saying? My feelings are, if you're sleeping with someone, you have the right to say, I don't want to sleep with someone who's sleeping with other people. And if you are, just tell me, and then I'll see you. So he's definitely still with her. And it looks like they never, ever fully broke up. There was always texting, talking, and communication.
Okay.
And it's not a question of him not caring about you, because, it looks like he does. But we have a whole new breed of people because of the internet, because of being able to connect, that are like having their cake and eat it, too, all over the place.
Mm-hmm. And I see he goes on still. I have I'll see that he still goes on. So why are you still looking on the site,
Because they want, this is what I call the internet monster men. Never in the history of the world have people been able to meet 400 people just by, posting something.
Right.
I mean, normally they couldn't even cheat the way they cheated. How are you going to meet 400 people?
Right.
But it's really become a problem. And I had way too many clients fall in love, they do meet a soulmate on the internet, and then the person just decides to run, they keep seeing other people, they're dating. My feelings are, this is your body, this is your life. Why are we so afraid to tell the truth of what we want? Let them run. Goodbye if that's what you want. But, he wants his cake and eat it too. He's not being honest with you. And what we have to acknowledge is that when we don't ask questions, when we don't probe, it's because we don't want to know the answer. Anybody who's ever had teenagers, you don't want to look in your kid's closet because you don't want to find the stuff that they got hidden in there. Do you know what I mean? But one day you all decide there's something not fishing. You open that closet and you look through it and you go, oh, my God, what's this? And your kid says, that's not my drugs. That's not my birth control pills. Oh, that's my friend. And we're stupid. We go, okay. When we finally open up a can of worms, and you weren't just spying for no reason. You have a grandmother who passed away who loves you very much, and she was the one that says, why don't you just look online? Why don't you just check? Sometimes the dead people, they're ones that are making us say, check the cell phone. Why don't you look? They want us to really see things. And, for you, it's going to cause a little bit of, pain for you to offer, but you might as well get it out in the open. And this way you'll start dating again. You'll start moving on. I mean, if you don't mind him seeing her and you don't mind it, that's fine too. I'm a very liberal person. I could care less if, you want to sleep with 900 people. It's none of my business. But tell all 900 people what you're doing and practice safe sex. The point is, if you're okay about it, it's okay. But if it's
question him about it, act like I know that I saw that, or should I just never speak to him again and just end it like
that? No, I would advise you to tell him, look, we were going on Facebook and I saw this, or, I see that you're still online. And don't give excuse that you Googled, you spy, I just saw it. And see what he has to say. And, sometimes these people need to know we're not all that stupid.
I've done that in the past. I've ignored stuff, with guys because I didn't want to come out and say it. And now I regret it sometimes, saying I should have just called them on it, and said I knew about it. And now it's, of course, a year later is way after the fact. It's too late. So, I don't want to start a big fight, but it's kind of what I mean?
No, because older souls want everybody to like them. We're good people. We want everybody to like us. So we never want to, we never want to embarrass them that we know they're lying, and we don't want to look like a bitch, and so we try to be nice, and we never speak up. But that's the energy that caused World War II, when people let their neighbors go in the oven because they didn't want to speak up. Do you know what I mean? People aren't going to like us when we catch them in their nonsense, and people aren't going to like us because we point out what they're doing. But you know what? We can't keep stuffing down anger till we get cancer, because that's what happens. You stuff it down so much. You say it nicely. You say what you mean what you say without being mean about it. But the point is, they shouldn't play women for stooges. And And, you know, just if women keep speaking up and saying things, or men say things about other, you know, what women are doing, just get it off your chest. Tell them that, you know, I cared about you, and, you know, I thought we had something going on, and, you know, be honest about how you feel, but this is not acceptable to you.
Okay.
I mean, I'm
like, should I call
him,
or just because, like he doesn't live, he lives like maybe 30 minutes away, and I don't want to be on his territory in case it turns into something like, you know, bad, and then I have to leave, and it's night, you know what I mean? And, like, I don't know if I should call and do it over the phone, because then people can hang up, or you don't see their facial expression.
Well, you can wait till you see him. That would be, you know, mutual time and talk with him. And, you know, my feelings are, I've always told men from the beginning, I don't sleep with people who are sleeping with other people. So this is, if you want to be with me, you want a relationship, you stick 2 feet in here, we see what's here. I just don't give people wiggle room.
I'm looking for the whole package, and I guess people don't care, you know. They just seem like you meet them, they'll wine and dine you until they want to get sex from you, and then after that, boom, they know they got you.
Yeah, I call it, they tell you what you want to hear, yeah. They get you, and then they do what they want.
But, like, why? Like, am I ever going to meet somebody that's, like, how do you trust somebody? Do you know? I don't want to be, like where I don't trust anybody, but, like, I see.
Have your red flags up. Have your red flags up all the time. And, you know, for good people, I tell them, for a little while, practice assuming everybody's lying until you find out otherwise. Instead of assuming everybody's telling the truth, how about trying assuming they're lying until I find out otherwise? Because otherwise we are, like, the blinders go on with the people, and we try to trust them, and we believe they're telling us the truth. Really good people, you know, you and I, Gina, would be dining with Hitler and Mussolini in 1944. They would be great guys to us. They would tell us what we want to hear. And meanwhile, they're no way a great guy, do you know what I mean? But they would appear that to us, because they would tell us what we want to hear, and we would bring out the best in them. So don't assume just because someone's being good to you that they're good people. That may not be the case. So, you know, just again, I'm not telling you to be jaded. By any means, anybody who knows me, I'm a very trusting people. People come to my home for readings. They're here all the time. I'm a very open person. But I do, you know, look for the red flags with people. If I see them hurting other people, if I see that they hurt other people and they lie to other people, they're going to lie to me. What makes me different? Do you know what I mean? Eventually, if they're stabbing everybody in the back, I'm going to get a knife in mine, too. I don't assume that I'm going to be the one anymore, that they will never hurt. That used to be my thinking, oh, nobody would hurt me. Why would they hurt me?
Right. You know? I think like that. And I just feel like I treat somebody so great, and why can't they treat me so great, you know?
Again, because you're assuming everybody thinks like you. Start assuming they don't think like you.
You know? I mean, it's just really difficult because, like, I just don't even know how to act anymore. You know, I want to be myself, and then I feel like, you know, this happens all the time. I get disappointed every single time. I mean,
and again, it's because, you know, 80% of the world are manipulators, by the way. It's about them. So that means out of every 10 people we meet, 8 are going to manipulate us, tell us what we want to hear, and do what they want. You've got to figure out, am I dealing with a manipulator or am I dealing with a genuinely good person, a giver? And our radar, we've been brainwashed not to trust our psychic ability. Your psychic ability will tell you this is not who I thought he was. We just don't listen. Sometimes we just don't want to see it. So from now on, trust your gut. If your gut's telling you this is not kosher, believe me, it's not kosher. Something stinks. So you're going to start trusting your own gut. And, yeah, it hurts a little bit to realize that there's a lot of people out there who manipulate. We're not in kindergarten anymore. This is the way the world is. Don't take it personal. It's not about us. It's about them. And God is bringing the good people together, Gina. You're going to have a good man.
You think?
Just call on this show and asking that you're saying, you know, you want a higher love, you're looking for something. The universe starts to hear that. And, again, have fun with it. God will bring you a couple of duds along the way, a couple of, you know, men that are going to really be not good. It'll only take you 5 minutes, not 5 months, if you pay attention to your, you know, your inner guidance.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm going to have to do that. And it's not even like I'm looking, you know, some people are looking to have money or this or that. I want someone that really just cares, like a regular person, that the simple things, you know. And I'm not just saying that, I really mean it. And it's like, why, you know, why do they have to be that way? And
Again, because God wants you to know before you die that evil exists, manipulation exists. That's why. Because if we go, we can't have, this is a lifetime, we can't go and think all people are good, because they're simply not. That kind of thinking led to World War II, where everybody believed everybody's good, nobody's going to put their neighbors in the ovens, nobody's going to do anything bad, everybody's good. No, they're not good. There's not everybody good. There are genuinely evil people, genuinely people who will hurt us. And, you know, if we recognize it, they just can't hurt us because we see it coming.
You know what kills me, too, is, like, why would he rather be with somebody toxic? She's an alcoholic. She's had a drinking problem. She's
because toxic love has an unconscious contract. No matter what you do or I do, we never leave each other. That's why. And people with massive fears of abandonment stay together. And he knows no matter what, he can be with other women, she'll still be there. He's not sure about you. If he's with you and he wants his cake and eat it, too, you're going to throw him out of the house. She doesn't care what he does.
How is he going to react to that, do you think? Like, if I do that, I'll stand up to him and I'll just kind of, you know, call him out on it. What do you think he'll do? Like,
well, he's probably going to tell you what you want to hear. He's going to lie to your face. Mm-hmm. And he's going to come up with 1,001 excuses. Oh, but she was, you know, she fell off the wagon. She was sick. Her mother died. This, that. I had to help her. He's going to tell you how he had to rescue her. He's going to put a slant on it. That's what they do. I mean, these people are very good at lying. They're very good. They're very quick. They always come out looking, you know, smelling like roses. The point is, he has his own anger issues. Toxic love is always two angry people raging behind closed doors. What's he going to do with all that anger? Is he going to rage with you? You'll throw him out the door. He can rage with her. He could be the worst him. He could cheat. He could drink. He could do whatever he wants, and she's going to take him back. That's why people stay in toxic love.
That makes a lot of sense.
And there's a payoff. So when people tell me I'm staying with my alcoholic husband, I'm so good, I made my bed sleep in, I said, there's got to be something in it for you. And a lot of times it's people prefer the devil they know. They just prefer it. And a higher love, a real soulmate, heart, soul, mind, body love, demands you overcoming your fear of loving somebody who could die on you. And a lot of people will never overcome that. They don't want to love that much. If it's toxic love, you might even kill the person. Who cares if they die? If it's mediocre love, I'll go on Match.com and replace you tomorrow. Soulmate love scares the hell out of people. And a higher love demands you heal issues. Most people don't want to heal their issues. And, you know, the sooner we realize that, and, you know, people are not, he's not rejecting you personally. He's rejecting the higher love Gina is offering him. And that higher love means stop having your cake and eat it too. Heal your anger issues. Heal your issues. Grow up. Be a man of your word. Overcome your fears of commitment and abandonment. He's maybe not strong enough to do that. Maybe he doesn't have the courage to do that. And most people don't have the courage to heal. It takes a lot of courage to heal. So, you know, don't even take it personally. Really, I don't take it personally with people anymore. It's not about me.
I'm going to try not to.
It's about them. If they can't heal their issues, they're not going to want to be near me.
Yeah.
So, you know, thank you so much for calling. We only have about a minute left. I want to thank Nicole for being here. And please call us in the future, Gina. And if you listen regularly to the show, I'm sure you'll get other hints about relationships.
Yeah, it's great. You really were helpful, and I do appreciate you taking my call, okay?
You're welcome, Gina, and good luck to you.
Thank you again. Bye.
Bye. Oh, Nicole, the things people do to each other.
I know, Cindy, I know.
Do you always, sometimes at the end of the day, I put my head on my desk and say, please, God, show me some good people for the day, you know, and I don't hear all the people that are hurting people.
No, well, you know what? You tend to get, like, a lot of the people that are hurting, Cindy, because you have the means to help them.
Right, I know, and we hope that, you know, that's why we do this show. Remember, Nicole, you have your next week off.
Yep,
you don't need to go to
next week,
the singles,
I know I have off.
You don't need to go to the singles cafe because you're not a singles girl anymore. But anybody who wants to join us at CenturyReach, I would love it. And, Nicole, do you have a shout-out tonight?
You know what? I just want to shout-out to my beautiful girlfriend who took such great care of me when I was sick. And I love you, and that's it.
Oh, what a wonderful shout-out. Everybody, enjoy your week, and we'll see you 2 weeks from now. And Godspeed in your journey toward a higher love. Bye.
Bye.